This is Becca Hefner, and welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, and anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all your daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit lg4square.com. That's lg4square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Both sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Came to the servers and told them, fill the pots with water right up to the very brim.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.
My hour of unveiling my power has not yet come.
Stop turning my father's house into a market.
What do you say about yourself, Alpha?
I am the voice of the one calling to the wilderness. Make straight the way for the
Lord. Things were made through him, and without him nothing was made.
Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed the name of God's one and only Son.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.
Welcome to the Barnabas Project, everybody.
Woo!
I'll be your host today. I am good old Uncle Chong.
And I'm Standard Candace.
Sassy Sam. No,
trying.
That's not it.
That's not it yet.
No, that's not it either.
I don't got a sweet nickname.
Like I can't believe how underwhelmed I am right now, yeah. Zach.
Maybe Zach is Standard Zach.
Or like Zach the Zach.
Just said his name twice. Yeah.
The Zach. It's how you spell it, though. I believe it's going to be the second time through. It'll be all caps.
Oh,
with an extra H.
Yeah, two or three H. There can't be too many H's, right?
No. Is it H or K?
I mean, really, the H is silent, right?
Well, Zach has this thing when he says the only way to spell Zach is with an H.
Only way.
That was news to me because I thought there was debate on it, but it turns out there's not.
Are you a Zachary? Zero.
I am.
How do you feel about multiple H's?
I'm fine with multiple H's.
As long as the H is there.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Maybe that's it. I'm Zach with an H. Huh?
Zach with an H.
Oh, no.
Can we make... Let's combine them a little bit. Zach with an H.
The Zach with an H. Okay.
Yeah. We're still working on you, Sam. Said at the beginning.
No, right. That was great. Yeah. In time.
Be good. Okay, John chapter 5 today. We're going to be going through, how far did we decide to read down this today?
15.
15. 15. Yeah. Through 15 or 2:15?
2:15.
All right.
2:15.
John chapter 5.
Okay.
1 through 14.
2.
Yeah, we'll just read 15 just for fun. I'll be reading out of the ESV today. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. In Aramaic, is called Bethesda.
Bethesda.
We had some debate on how to pronounce
Bethesda.
So we had the Goog tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. Then Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been there a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is that man who said that to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was. Jesus had withdrawn. He gave him the slip, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Did we decide to stop there?
Well, then the man went and reported to the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Right.
Okay, so that was verse 15. So we are going through 15.
Mm-hmm. 1 through 14 and 15.
It's decided. Also 15. It's decided.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing the SOAP method today, which mm-hmm. means scripture, observation, application, and prayer.
You got it.
So let's go around the table. Who thinks what about this scripture?
What
letter is that?
We're going to insert a W or an H in there. What?
Ah, the movie reference. Okay.
I'll start. Oh, okay, so here we go. What really is wild to me was looking up the pool.
Right.
And that, Sam, why don't I know who you are? It's because you don't have a cool intro.
I know. I'm sorry.
We were talking about this beforehand.
We were.
Like, the pools were kind of a cool thing, and, mm-hmm. and they've got pictures of these things.
Yeah.
And they've got, like, these big, like, walking columns above them, and then down in the pool, like, they walk in. And it was said back then that the people that would enter the pool, the first one that would enter the pool when the water started to bubble up or swirl, would be healed. Mm-hmm. And it was this old Jewish tradition. And I've got kind of another thing I want to jump into here a little bit.
Cool.
Something for y'all to think about. Let's think about it for a second. So did anybody notice anything peculiar about this scripture? Verse 4 is missing.
What? You're right.
Verse 4 what? Isn't there.
Verse note. 3, within these lay a large number of the disabled, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Verse 5,
yeah.
One man was there who had been disabled for 38 years.
Well, lucky for you guys, I got verse 4 right here.
What?
Okay, so let me start here. Verse 3.5. Well, I'm just going to read 3 and 4. In these days lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. Verse 3.5. Waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first after the stirring up the water stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted.
That is wild, because if I read it in one version,
yes,
multiple versions, it doesn't have it. But if I read it in other versions, it does. I've read it in other versions and they were talked about this angel. Mm.
Yeah, so in ESV, which is what I had read the beginning of all this through, and I'm not sure what translation we read 15 in, because that was your
Christian Standard Bible.
You're a CSB gal now? Can we give
equal opportunity Bible reader? Thank you. I am not.
I love CSB. Okay. CSB also doesn't include number 4.
Does not include number 4.
So here's where I actually, when you walked in the room and talked about canonizing scripture, I was like, huh. He knows about verse 4. This will be interesting. This will be an interesting conversation, but it was completely different, wasn't it?
That's okay. Funny.
So what happened here was throughout time, the monks that would rewrite these scriptures and continue to copy them for other people to have in their synagogues and things like that, they basically filled in between the lines on this one. Now, we go back into the older manuscripts, the stuff that we found in the, now again, I thought we were talking about canonizing scripture.
Yeah.
Here we are.
There we go.
The stuff that we found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they didn't have this section of scripture in it. And what they learned was the monks filled in the gaps here so that people understood what was happening right there. So there was this Jewish understanding that when they would go into the pools, the first one that got there would be healed. And it, of course, it was a myth. It wasn't real and it wasn't canonized for that reason. Mm-hmm. But it was just this understanding. So for me, it makes this moment so much sadder too, because there was all of these sick people that were there. They were all waiting for healing. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be healed and they were gathering so that they would do it. But it was this first come, first serve situation.
Yeah.
And it was really sad because every time the lame person wanted to step into the pool and be healed, somebody else would cut him off. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that makes this so much more powerful. I understand why they didn't canonize it. Yeah. I wouldn't have canonized it either. I also understand why some of the monks put this in there so that they understood the context of what was happening here.
Yeah.
And so for years, 38 years, the lame guy couldn't get into the pool, cut off every time he was cut off. But then I'm thinking about the kingdom of Christ in this. Mm-hmm. And what does Christ do? We'll get into the application later.
Yeah, I'm like, hold the phone. Yeah, I love that. You know, I was thinking about this man, and I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm just picturing Jesus bending down and coming at his level to talk with him. And first of all, the humanity that this guy is experiencing and how Jesus is so compassionate. And oftentimes people in this scenario are overlooked. They're not looked in the eye, and they're not, they're just not seen and they're marginalized. And here's Jesus like talking to him, and he's just, you know, going, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up.
Yeah.
Cause somebody always goes ahead of me. And Jesus, I know he was looking at him, says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. There's probably joy in Jesus in that moment where he's like knowing, he knows this man's heart and how long he has suffered under what has happened, and how he's been treated probably. And like you were kind of mentioning, Chong, just, yeah, what was going on culturally at that pool. To me, that's what stood out, just the amazing tenderness of our Heavenly Father's heart and who Jesus is. It's just really cool. Yeah. And I have more on the application later too, but I kind of like how there's this idea of like, we know in our own understanding how we might seek healing sometimes, like, you know, but God will come with a supernatural thing that we don't understand or know that can be instantaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me into what I'm talking about. Right after he does this, Jesus just
the slip gone.
Right?
Yeah.
That is a cool power. I wish I had that power.
It's Batman. Right? Up on a rooftop, talk to, you know, Detective Gordon.
Yeah.
He's like, Batman, the Penguin's at it again, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right, let's go. And then he goes, what do you mean, Batman? And then turns around and he's gone.
Every time.
Have we ever seen Jesus and Batman in the same room?
We're talking about
canonizing the Bible.
There's some extra biblical stuff that people need to be looking into.
I'll do some more research for the audience.
Wow. I want your notes. Okay.
But I think it's really interesting that has this crazy impactful moment. Okay. Just like sees this man, kneels down to him. Get up! Exclamation point. Pick up your mat and walk. And the dude's like, whoop. He's like, what? Where'd this guy go? Yeah. I picture either Jesus disappeared, or he's like tucking and weaving through this crowd of people with disease and illnesses. You know what I mean? But then later finds him in the temple.
Yeah.
And they have a conversation, you know? I just think it's really interesting. I wonder, did Jesus know that he's going to see him again? Or was he just there to bless him and it was by chance? You know what I mean? I just think it's really interesting.
I think Jesus did know that he was going to see him again because these pools were by the temple.
And the sheep.
And the sheep.
It says it.
Yeah, it's true. It's called the sheep's gate, right? So there's a lot of like theories about this pool. The location it's in would be for Jewish washing rituals. And so that would be its purpose for being by the temple. And so a lot of people assume that they would go through their rituals down there in the pool and then walk south because it was north. I read that somewhere.
Not important.
Not important.
Nope.
My wife gets really mad at me because I give directions like that. Like, well, if you head due north.
Oh, jeez.
I like that.
You just told me nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
For me, this guy just received probably the most exciting, greatest blessing that he could have received.
Yeah.
And then he picks up his bedroll and then gets in trouble for working on the Sabbath.
Worst.
How it just baffles my mind how that could be like a no-no. Like he's carrying a mat and he's, and it's just like, I mean, application later, obviously, but I think sometimes we can see people around us or see people experience like the greatest thing or just blessings. And then we're like, we question them or whatever. And it's super super hard to see. Like,
yeah.
Joy stealers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this man has been lame for 38 years and now he's walking. And that is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And they just hit him with all the Jewish tradition right there too. So instead of celebrating with him, they point fingers and say, what are you doing? This isn't lawful.
Right.
This isn't even lawful.
Yeah. They just skip over the fact that he just experienced probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. I feel like we got to jump into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, how did the Pharisees get to this? Like, where did they get this idea from? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking and looking. I'm like, what? There's no scripture about that rule. Where did this come from? You know, so I went to Exodus 20, where we have the law given. So let's just talk about the Sabbath for a second. For the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock. And just kind of just goes on. Just don't do work on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. This is where we know the Sabbath. So I found it. I found where they get it.
Oh,
it's called Mishnah Shabbat. So this is where they have made their rules, the Pharisees. This is where they got them from. And so Mishnah Shabbat 7:4, here it is. You shall not do any building, pulling down, extinguishing, kindling, striking with a hammer, and carrying out from one domain to another. So that's where it comes from, not carry out from one domain to another. So basically, the Jewish people were like, we have to define what it means to work. Like, there isn't enough hard lines here. Mm-hmm. How do we define what is work? So they built these hard lines into these Jewish traditions. And it comes from this book that they wrote called the Mishnah Shabbat. And they still live by this today, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We are wild, wild people.
Yeah.
It's just pharisaical shenanigans.
But you know what? We That's do awesome. This.
Well, it's the seeking of hard lines. We do this.
We do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've been practicing weekly Sabbath, Sabbath rest, and the church is blessing me with a sabbatical, which is an extended time. So I'm going to be gone from January through February. And as I'm processing, what's Sabbath for me? God, what is that Sabbath? Mm-hmm. Because some people will put these rules on it. Like there's rules about it, right?
Right.
And that's the thing about how God wants you to engage with Sabbath. The rule isn't, I don't need to like do work, like no work. Well, maybe some work for me might be Sabbath rest. Really, God has to define that in each individual person. What is rest? What is your weekly, you should have a day that you are for sure having a weekly rest and resting from things. And really each individual person's, it's really has to do with their walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
What is work for you may not be work for another person.
That's true.
I think we want it to look like a certain set of rules. We like rules.
Yep. Rules make sense. Rules have a lot of boundaries that, you know, when you go outside the rules, you're outside the rules. And that's that. That's it.
But they also don't allow us to actually rely on the Lord.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I was in a class one time and it was like the overview of the Bible and the teacher was going over that lines that the Jews were drawing, right? Because they're so scared of breaking that law, they just kept taking a step back and drawing a line in the sand, and then taking another step back and drawing a line in the sand. So they wouldn't break that rule, but they started to make their own rules to follow that.
Yeah.
And I know that's what we all been saying, but I just think it's really cool. Like, we still do that today.
And those rules, those lines, they just serve to hurt relationship. Yeah. But there's no fruit in any of that business. When we walk in legalism, it will always hurt someone. It will.
That's
scriptural. You can see it happening to this man. We all read this and go, why are they being jerks? And yet there's this thing in me, my little legalism heart, that will put some rules up about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's really cool that Jesus does here, though, is he doesn't get into rabbinical law with them. You know, because if anybody's going to know it, it's him. Like, it's Jesus. He kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so for him to not answer them in a way that they addressed him, he just turned it around to the heart.
Yep.
Like, that's what Jesus is, and that's what he's always done. That's always who he has been.
Yeah.
And I just love what he does right there.
Yeah.
So are we already into application or are we going to start?
Let's do some more application. We're in there. Yeah. I just think about like the application for me during this, just this time as we're walking it through today. I feel like we have things that we know that we've seen work before and we really can rely on those things, But are there things where God wants us to extend out our faith and trust in him into something that's miraculous that we can't know, that we can't see? And, you know, maybe that's something we could process with God.
Yeah. I would say mine, on the same vein, what as I talked about earlier about Jesus giving them a slip.
I still love that.
We can impact people's lives and have like, and like bless and bring words of encouragement and really honor and bless somebody. But if we were to moments later, just, you know, and those words still resonate with people and stuff. But I think about like new Christians sometimes, right? And how we're like, boom, they're saved. They're all good. They're going to heaven, you know, but in reality, they're still like babies, you know, and they still need that follow up. And in verse 14, Jesus finds him in the temple. When I was talking, I was like, I wonder if it was chance. And I was looking back over again. I was like, no, it says later him. Jesus found him and has that follow up, you know? And I think the application is like, just when we have those incredible moments with people, make sure we follow up on them. You know, that's just good. Be like, hey, have you had time to process what I told you about that word I gave you or that encouragement? Did that impact you? Or was that like a thing that hindered you? You know, because sometimes people, they think they're giving out a really good word or they're giving out some really good encouragement, but it's kind of the opposite. You know, so I think it's important that we follow up with our friends and our family, just in all walks of life. And that is honoring, you know, it builds relationship. This is a relational dude. You know, it wasn't like Jesus bumped him and was like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you, I'm Jesus Christ, you know? It was like Jesus was like, oh, there's that dude. Dude, totally sorry about that. But that was my application.
Yeah, that's good because we have a tendency to be like, check that off my list, on to the next.
Right.
And on to the next. Like the relational part of it isn't necessarily something we consider a win.
Yeah.
We consider that victory in the moment a win. But when we sort of just like, okay,
deuces.
Done. We're done with you. Like, yeah, we did.
For me, I think it's how Jesus ends this section. Now you are well, so stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you. And I think it's like when Jesus chooses to bless us or to heal us, take advantage of that. Take that and go out and use that for his glory. And don't just take it for granted or take advantage of that, but take that opportunity, take that blessing and continue to just go out and share his love.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. So I go back to the heart of Christ on this one too. Like, what did he do? What was the example he set right here? The example I see him setting right here was exactly the thing that he said about the kingdom of God all along. The first shall be last. In the kingdom of God, the first shall be last. Those who do unto the least of these, you will be doing unto me as well. So we get this firsthand picture of what Christ is. He isn't the guy cutting in line to jump into the pool just at the off chance that he might be healed. He's the one at the back of the line with the paralyzed guy that everybody's walking by and not even, like you said, Candace, not even making eye contact with anybody.
You know, I think there might be friends out there listening who don't feel advocated for, who don't feel like they have a friend. And I mean, this guy's in the same scenario. He doesn't have somebody who can get him to the pool and be first. And yet here's Jesus being his advocate. He's our ultimate advocate.
Yeah, he sets that example right off.
Yeah, and he just flips the whole pool idea on its head. Like, the first one in, we'll get it.
Yeah.
You know? He just is like, no, like, that's not how we should be looking at this system of whoever gets there first gets it.
Yeah.
Well, and I like how it's Jesus that seeked the guy out in this. It wasn't even the guy waiting for Jesus to come along. It was Christ that walked up to him and said, do you want to be healed today?
Yeah.
Then get up. Pick up your mat and walk.
Yeah.
And then he does, and he breaks their Sabbath laws. And we'll actually get further into that later on in John, even.
Because I like how you said their Sabbath laws.
Their Sabbath laws. Yeah, it wasn't God's Sabbath laws.
This is probably the most hopeful place he could be, right? Our paralyzed man. I mean, like, he is trying to be hopeful in getting to at least something that looks like healing in that pool.
Yeah.
Maybe someday it'll happen. Man, we can walk in that too. And I just, God has, like, exponentially more hope and exponentially more healing and joy for people and for each of us that we can't even comprehend.
Yeah.
And I love that it's for each of us. It's not just for the first person in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, we all get to experience that.
Yeah. I've heard this really cool example of things like that. It's called a God box. We're like, oh, we understand the Lord. You know, we're going to put him in this little box. And my mom made this thing up. I'm like, I understand him now. And then something would crazy would happen in her life or in someone's life. And it's like, I remember one time my mom was like, oh, my God box got a little bigger today. You're believing in a more boundless God that can step out of boundaries and do things. You know what I mean? Because we shouldn't be able to understand him, you know, or like, oh, this is the only way God works is if we're at this pool.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's us drawing lines or building walls. Mm-hmm.
That's good. I want to finish with this. Zach, you just said something that says a lot. It's not the first one in. Mm-hmm. It's not the first one in that, Christ goes after. And I kind of put myself in the shoes of the first one in. Like, what was that guy's perspective? Well, the water's churning, right? And all of a sudden, it's time. Mm-hmm. Get in there. Get in there because today I'm going to get healed. Move out of my way because I'm going to get healed today. So he's in the water, hands up. Where's the healing? Waiting for the healing. The guy in the back of the line that he pushed out of the way, healed.
Yep.
So wherever you are today, if you are feeling hopeless, if you are feeling like there is nothing out there for you, everybody's cutting in line, nobody's paying any attention to me today, nobody recognizes my existence because I look like a lame, crippled person. Mm-hmm. If that is you today, Christ is right there in the back of the line with you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So open up to him because he shows up in the most unexpected moments. Let's pray. Lord, today we do seek you. We seek you, but Lord, that is because you seeked us first. So when we seek you, it comes from a place of you seeking us. So Lord, as we want healing in our hearts and we want healing in our lives, we also want healing for the people around us. And as we seek God healing, Lord, let it be from your will and let it be from your plan. But above all, Lord, let our hearts be about you and only you. Let our ways be about you, Lord. So when we are putting ourselves in a place where we might be in front of others, Lord, let us step to the back of the line and usher others to you. We thank you, God, in all of these things. We thank you for your ways and your plan. We thank you for the example that you have laid in front of us for us to follow. So let us follow that well and let us love better today. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more info about Faith Center, you can visit LG4square.com, LG4square.com, and you can email the show at podcasts@LG4square.com. Thanks for listening and God bless.